Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. This is Passion Talk, conversations about love, life, and the things that matter. I am your host, Dr. Kim Duncan, business coach, entrepreneur, and a man that really cares about what's going on with you. I want to welcome you to this show. This is the last day of the first quarter of 2015. Can you believe it? I mean, really, it literally seems like yesterday we were all wishing each other Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And now look at this. The first quarter of the year is gone. We're getting ready for spring. And the time just flies by. I wanted to close out this month with a subject that's near and dear to my heart. As many of you may already know, I am a business coach, and I spend a lot of time working with startups and small business entrepreneurs. And March is, in case you don't know, March is the March is Startup Your Business Month. And I thought there would be no better way to close out this month than to speak about starting up a business and answer your questions. So if you are listening and you have a question about starting up a business, I want you to get on the phone, give us a call. The phone number here is 347-996-3160. That's 347-996-3160. And when you want to join the conversation, you just press 1. To facilitate this conversation, I thought it'd be really, really good to invite someone that's really knowledgeable about starting a business. He's actually started several businesses. He's a serial entrepreneur, and he's a co-founder of Dreamland Creative Studios. And his name is William Coles, and I'm going to bring him on now so we can get this conversation started. William, how are you? Good evening.
Good evening, Kim. How are you?
Oh, man, you know, I'm doing great, brother. I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you on the show. You and I have we just recently connected, and we've been batting around a couple of ideas about things that we can do together in business. And when I thought about this show, you were just a natural person I wanted to bring on, because you're so involved with the creative process and being of service to those that are looking to start businesses.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, cool. So why don't we start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself and, you know, who you are, where you come from, and, you know, tell us a little bit about your business.
Sure. Well, my name is William Coles. Grew up in New York City, mainly Brooklyn. My passions really lie in helping people with their ideas and their dreams and fulfilling helping them get to their fullest potential. I really love reading books. I really love Netflix. That's in Chipotle. Dreamland Creative Studios is pretty much a platform to help freelancers connect with clients and then help clients get great work and build really awesome relationships with their freelancers. So it's a really cool way to build great relationships and create great work for people.
And how did you come to wanting to create something like that? Because I think when we first met, I thought it was an interesting concept, but my first question was, well, what set you apart from, say, another outsourcing company? And you had a really great answer, so I'd like you to share it with the audience, if you don't mind.
No, let me see if I can remember that answer. No, but no, I think my life is really about connecting with people. And I feel like mm-hmm. I discovered that through, you know, growing up and making a lot of mistakes. And I feel like my natural ability is to connect with people and build relationships. So Dreamland is pretty much an extension of who I am. So I want to build relationships. I want to connect with people. So I was like, you know what? It'd be awesome to get my freelancers friends involved in helping them build their businesses as freelancers by building great relationships, learning how to connect with people. If they can learn how to connect with people, their business will grow by default.
And that's exactly why I said that's a great way of setting yourself apart. You know, there's so many freelancers out here. This is a freelance economy. And for you to really hone in on building a relationship, having the freelancers build a relationship, it's really, really, really key.
Yeah,
and so you've launched a business already, correct?
Yes, we launched. The original idea happened in June of last year, 2014, and we actually started in September of that 2014, and we've been running ever since and transforming and growing. It's been a really interesting process.
Cool. Now tell us a little bit about you, because Dreamland isn't your first business, but it's also not your only business. So if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about your background with starting businesses so that we can kind of really understand how, you know, you're such a great person to really speak on this topic and answer questions, because you've been there, done that, so to speak.
Right. You know, I've always told people, you know, I'm a student, you know, I'm a student of learning. And I think that's kind of what really gets me going, is I'm really curious about things. I believe my first business that I started was in high school, actually. My mentor was like, hey, William, you can, his name is Terry. And he's like, well, you can start a business anytime you want. And I was like, I don't have any degree, I don't have no business. You know, what I'm going to make, you know, what can I build? He said, start a consulting business. And I was like, okay, well, I consult. And at the time, I was really helping a lot of people with like their issues, or I just try to seek to help people, whatever I can. And I said, oh, well, I'll make a consulting business. So it was William H. Cole's Consulting. That was my first business when I was in high school. And I would just consult people. I would just try to help them with issues. It didn't even matter if I didn't have an expertise in it. I would find the answer or connect them, you know. I believe that was a great start for me. And as I started growing up and learning more about business and connecting with really cool people, you know, I wanted to, you know, start other businesses. There was organization I started called How to Win Foundation, and it's really an organization that wanted to empower youth to become leaders in the community. And then from there, you know, I started Dance for Change. Dance for Change is a nonprofit that really specializes in helping people become more generous, more active, and fitness-wise, and more of a contributor to their community by partnering with different nonprofits in New York City. And then Dreamland. And it just, you know, I just was just seeking to help, you know, and I think that kind of fuels my innovation. It's like, mm-hmm. how can I help? I see a need. I'm like, wow, that'd be really cool if they had that. And then we, you know, just go through the process of trying to figure it out.
Okay. So what I love about that answer, and what I take away from that answer, is you actually started your first business in high school, and I think that that's absolutely great. And not only is it like, you know, not only did you start your first business in high school, But it was a consulting business, which, I mean, at you know, at such a young age, you would think that that would be, that wouldn't be the typical business for you to go into, but you did it, and it was something I would assume was successful. So, what do you think? You know, before we go to open up the lines for questions, what do you think the key factors or the key things that people need to really keep in mind when wanting to start a business? What do you advise people? What do you talk to people about?
That's a great question. Recently, what I've discovered is starting a business is internal first. And I, you know, and what I mean is that you have to be, whatever you're about to produce, that's who you are. So I always tell people to look at first who you are and what you're becoming, because whatever you're becoming, you're going to produce. And that's business. It's the really like this idea, if you're starting a business, figure out who you are. Figure out, you know, what type of person you are, kind of what's your natural gifts, what's your natural strengths, and see if you can build off those, because those are the things that come straight natural for you. For me, what comes natural for me is connecting with people. I can just naturally do that. Some people can't naturally do that, but I do that, and that's how I built, you know, all these really cool projects, is because I'm building off my strength for what I'm really good at. So I would say focus on your strengths, what you're really good at, and then two, focus on your why. Figure out like why you're doing it in the first place. You got to have a really strong reason. Because when things get tight, because entrepreneurship, starting a business is hard. Pursuing the dream is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do, because the people you're going to be helping, it carries a weight of a cost. It's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you more than you think it is. And then three,
are you talking,
I would say,
hold on, let me just pause you there a second. When you say it's going to cost you, are you talking about financially, emotionally, time-wise? What exactly
Everything.
Are you talking about?
So it's going to cost you in all aspects. One, financially, for sure. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you physically. You're going to have to become a certain person to maintain that entrepreneur. You have to be more healthier. You got to be able to be better with your time. You know, you got to be on time. You got to develop your character. So that takes time, personal development. You have to read books. You have to educate yourself. It's costly. And you got to look at that before you actually start, say, hey, am I willing to pay the cost for this dream? So it's a lot of it, of the business, is actually internal things. And when you're pursuing the dream, you have to ask yourself this question, am I willing to pay the cost? Because if you're not, when things get tough, and they will, you got to have this why to say, I'm doing it because of this. I'm doing it because of my mother. I'm doing it because I need to, you know, help these kids. You need to have a strong why. And the last one is, I think advice is, build extraordinary relationships. All the other stuff you can learn. You know, you can learn on YouTube. You can learn through Google and search and but really put a lot of emphasis on learning to connect with people and learning to build extraordinary relationships, because relationships is life. That's just everything about life is relationships.
And what's your advice on some of the ways to connect with people and make those really strong connections?
Well, there I'll give you one principle. It's the law of common ground. Now, the law of common ground is it's basically how you connect. You can't connect with somebody if you don't, you know, have this common ground. A lot of times people try to, you know, influence people, but you can't influence anybody if you don't know how to connect. And connecting really is the ability to identify with people and relate to them in such a way that it increases your influences with them. I'll say that again. Connecting is the ability to identify with people and relate to them in such a way that will increases your influence with them. And leadership, as we know, as John Maxwell says, leadership is influence. And that's how you connect. You want to try to connect on common ground. Your ability to do that will take you to the next level. Figure out how you can build commonality. Figure out what they're interested in. And it will just increase your ability to connect. Pretty much one principle that I can, it's about five of them, but one of them, if you can master the law of building common ground, which is learning how to put the person first and figure out what they're interested in, and then figuring out how you can actually play a role in those interests, you're better to connect with that person. Your chances of connecting is increased.
That's such a insightful thing to say, because I've learned over the time that I've been, you know, building my business, that the best relationships I've had in business is the ones that I have established some type of commonality with the person,
mm-hmm.
whether it's we share a similar mission. Like, I think you and I share the similar mission of helping people start something. So that's why we, you know, really connect and really are growing a close bond. But there's other ways that I've connected with people, and those, the ones that I have really connected with and stay true to, are the ones that I've had some type of common interest in, or some type of common ground, to use your term. So that's very, very key, and I can definitely attest to that.
Yeah, man. It's a very powerful thing.
It is. It definitely is. And we also love Chipotle, so that's another thing we have in common.
Yes.
Okay, so the phone line. Hey, listen, guys, if anyone's out there and you have a question about starting a business, this is the time to do it. You have you have someone who's a serial entrepreneur who started several businesses. You have your business coach that's trained and dedicated to doing these things. You're not going to get a better chance to get some free advice. So I really will want you to take advantage of it. The area code is 347-996-3160. That's area code 347-996-3160. And you're going to press 1 to join the conversation. One thing that did come through, I got a couple of emails from some people that said they couldn't listen live, but they did have some questions. So what I thought I'd do until we get a live caller on, I'd just go ahead and read some of these emails and have you respond to them, and we can kind of share our thoughts on these questions. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great.
Cool. So a lot of time, and I get this question a lot, is should I write a business plan? And I'll ask you, should someone who's considering to start a business write a business plan?
That's a great question. I would say it depends, because for me, I haven't really used a business plan. But I would say it depends on what you're building. I would say it depends on the idea, depends on the product or service. And there are other tools that I've been using, like, business model scale. And there are different, like, things that you can use and tools that you can use that are very similar to a business plan. Now, I would say a business plan is really awesome to use if you want, but these days, it depends, but you really, a lot of times, you really don't need it, but it's really helpful to give you a really in-depth analysis of what you're trying to build, who you're trying to reach. So it kind of really depends on who's coaching you. It also depends on who's, you know, what the idea is. So, I mean, I personally don't use it, but it kind of really depends on what you're trying to build.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. Can you give me an example of a type of business that you would say someone should definitely have a business plan? And give me an example of a business that you could say, it'd be nice if you have it, but, you know, don't kill yourself trying to get one.
Right. I would say a business that probably would require, like, a business plan would be like, hey, I'm starting a new product, as far as like a new computer line, like a new, I'm building new computers like Macs, and I want to mass produce them around the world, and or a phone. I would say, because that market is so huge, and it requires some analysis, some deep analysis. I would say a magnitude of almost like a product. I would say business plans, I feel like if you have a product, like a computer or something physical that people can like put their hands on, ideally, I would say that would require a business plan, because it would need to be really structured in the sense of, in especially if like you're getting like a investing, like you're trying to get funding, you definitely need a business plan. that's probably number one. If you're looking to like, hey, I'm looking to actually get investors to build into this, you definitely need a business plan, because that's kind of what they look for. Now, a business that I typically use, and I'm starting to kind of figure this out, is a company, like if you're building like a studio, a photography studio, you don't need a business plan. Or a graphic design firm, or, you know, you're freelance, you don't need a business plan for that. Or you're going to start a coffee shop, you probably need a business plan, but most of the time you can just kind of like sell coffee. You know, it really depends on what you're trying to build. But I would say things like that, you can just up and run as like a service. You can like, hey, I'm charging this. This is the kind of the cost of it. And people just buy into it. But more so, if you're looking to get investing, you're going to need a business plan.
Gotcha. You know, and I would definitely agree with you. When I get answered that question by a client or a potential client, my first thing that I always say is, well, if you're going to look to go to a bank or get any type of funding for your business, then yes, you should definitely have a business plan, because you need to be able to show the lender or lending institution what your plan is, and the fact that you've thought it out, and you have a reasonable plan to return them their money. That's
right.
You know, that's the key trigger to whether you should have a business plan or not. For me, then beyond that, I think you're right. It does become a little bit of a, depending upon the situation. I would say though that if you're going to have anything, a physical location for something, what I'm hearing a lot of times are landlords are now asking for copies of business plans if they're going to rent out space to a location. So because the landlord wants to know that, you know, that the place that where, you know, where you're going to put this coffee shop, you have a solid plan that's going to generate money that can cover your rent. So that's also some place where if you're going to come up with something physical. If you're a website, if you're a graphic designer, if you're a coach, even like myself, I didn't really start with a 30-page plan. I started with, you know, I started with a page or two with some notes on who my target market was, you know, kind of a SWOT analysis, things of that nature. But that's something that was just a little internal thing. But, you know, again, you should definitely have a business plan if you're going to be looking, if you're going to look for funding.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's try and squeeze in another one before we get to the bottom of the hour break. How do you know, because I also get this a lot too, and it's usually phrased in a different way than what this question came in at. The question says, how do I know if my idea for a business is a good one? And the way I get the question asked to me a lot is, I have a good idea, but I'm not sure if it'll be if I can make money from it. So it's this basically the same question, but just phrased a little bit differently. And the emphasis is on one as opposed to another. So I'll ask you the way it came in. How do you know if someone comes to you and they say, hey, I have this idea and I'm not sure if it's a good business. How do you kind of coach them to know whether it's a good business or not?
Just do it. I tell them just do
it. That's the Nike. That's from the Nike school of coaching.
Yeah, pretty much. Just the thing about ideas, they evolve. A lot of times they're just like a seed. They may be an entryway to the bigger idea. So you don't really know that until you actually do it. And for instance, I would have an idea for like Dreamland, and it just has evolved into something else. Same essence, still same purpose, but the idea has grown into something much larger than I didn't anticipate, and that's great. But if I didn't actually act on the idea or explore it and try to implement it, I would have never got to that place. It's like a baby. You gotta feed it. You gotta feed it so it can grow, and you can actually see the fruit of it. So I would say a really simple answer would be just do it. Because if it's not a good idea, I mean, at least you explored it, and that idea can actually probably lead to another one that, like, oh wait, I thought, oh yeah, and then maybe you share it, and then maybe people are giving you feedback. I would just advise them to do it, and see and find out. These days, it's so easy to start a business. It's so easy to get attention, blogging, YouTubing, and people can test it out. People can't criticize what's not out there. It's actually an honor for them to say, hey, your idea is stupid. At least somebody's actually reading it. To even say, like, hey, it's out there. Put it out there. If people are criticizing, that's a great thing. I mean, they actually read the content. They actually read it. So that's a win. What you're trying to do is get people to see it and read it and put it out there, and you never know. You just never know.
That's definitely I subscribe to that theory as well, but I can imagine that there are some people that when they hear you say, it's a good to have someone say that your business or your idea is stupid. That's something of a bit of a shock to them, and more of, and something that they're not used to hearing, because I think we are, we're trained to kind of play it safe and try to minimize any and all risk. But when you're starting a business, you have to take on some risk. You have to put your idea out there. So I think that's something that people really need to kind of wrap their head around, and that's a mental shift. That's a big shift for a lot of people.
Right.
Have you had a situation where you started a business, or you put something out there, like an idea that you just got like, nah, that sucks, dude. Don't do that. Don't.
Right.
That's bad.
Yeah. Every day, almost, because I feel like I'm just like this, like Claudia Aperture. She has a book out called The Idea Machine, and it's just this person's idea. They come up with ideas, like that's that's just who they are, and I just put out ideas, and sometimes people are like, man, bro, that doesn't make any sense, maybe you should work on it, a little bit more, and maybe they're right. But a lot of times I may say, oh, I got this really cool idea. Somebody's already doing that. Or check, it's always never like, oh, okay. that's really awesome. Well, I'd love if you see that you could develop it more. Let me know if you need help. It's more. So I've always had somebody say, hey, that's not really a good idea, actually. or look at you and like, So I would say all the time, but if you don't keep putting it out there, then you will never know. You actually would never know. And there's nothing wrong with ideas. Never despise that you come up with ideas, because it's really ideas that change the world. One idea can change the world. So yeah, keep. I would say keep the ideas flowing. Write them down on paper. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
capture that, because you can't trust your own memory. I made that mistake growing up. I would have some really cool ideas and didn't write it down, and I mm-hmm. completely forgot it. Like, I never remembered it, because it's probably that aha moment there that, you know, you're in this place of inspiration and it just hit you and it's gone. You know, you don't want that.
Right. Yeah. I've had some things like that happen to me as well. So definitely good advice there on writing it down. All right, so I just peeked at the clock. We're at the halfway mark of the show. So I'm going to, we have a bit of a break. We have a message from a friend of the show. I'm going to play that, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the short break, and we will continue the conversation, and hopefully we'll get some live callers in. If not, I have a few more questions that we can go through and really just get some knowledge out there, okay?
Great. Sounds awesome.
All right. Well, we will be right back.
Master the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario live in New York City on Friday, May 15th at So Techie Spaces for his new seminar, Reclaim the Game. Mr. Locario has some exclusive new realistic approaches to the dating game that will help you be successful with women. Purchase your tickets at MrLocario.com. Space is extremely limited, so pick up your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
All right. Okay. We're back, and we will be continuing our conversation with William Coles, co-founder of the Dreamland Creative Studios, a serial entrepreneur, and taking some really great questions on starting your business for National Startup Business Month. You just heard a promo from a friend of the show, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. He was actually my very first guest on the show. And he's doing a seminar for men who are looking to get better at dating, and he wanted me to kind of help spread the word. So definitely, if you are in that category, definitely reach out to Mr. Locario at his website, MrLocario.com. And I can tell you that the place that he's having the seminar, So Techie Space, that I'm familiar with that place, is down on 39th Street. It's a very, very small place. It's a good space, but it's tight. So definitely get your tickets early if you have any desire to go. All right. So let's get back in. I'm going to bring William back in, and we're going to jump right back into our great discussion. William, you there?
Yes, Dr. Kim. I'm here.
All right, cool. So as we were going out, we were talking about ideas, and you were talking about, you know, you had a bunch of ideas over the course of your time, and you put them out there, and some you've captured successfully, some you didn't capture. And something came to my mind that I thought is a good question, and something that someone may be thinking of right now. Because a lot of people, I think, fall into the similar category that you are. They have a lot of ideas. What is, you know, after writing the idea down, what is your suggestion or your advice on how to proceed from there? And the reason why I ask that question is we both know that there's a wealth of information. There's a glut of information, actually. You know, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Google, and you can get inundated with all different types of ways to proceed from an idea stage. I want to know from you that you're someone that's had so many different ideas. What's your best advice for how to proceed from just after you get the idea, after you write it down, how do you proceed from there?
Well, that's a great question. I have to think about that. But I think what I do, say I recently had an idea about human trafficking and how to help that issue. So what I did was I wrote the idea down on paper. And what I did was I started doing some research. Like you said, you want to do some research. That would be the first thing. You want to do some research about who's doing it already. You know, what's the issue? Who needs that idea? Who are the people that would need something like that? Mm-hmm. Saved ideas, a new way to new pen set. Who would need that? You want to figure out who would use it. So that's important. Once you write it down, do some research, and then figure out who would need that product or that idea or that service. And then I would take it after you figure out who would kind of use that or who will want that or desire that. I would figure out the people in your circle that can help you. I think that's very important. For me, is I know my ability. So I know what I don't have. Once you figure out, like I said earlier, when knowing what your strengths are, you know that you can hold that area, you're going to need some people that can help you with that idea. So once you kind of do your research, you figure out kind of who desire that idea, or product, or service, you want to start actually looking around who do you trust to help you with that idea. Bring it to them, say, hey, I have this idea. I know you're really good at design. I know you're good at business, or I know you know somebody in this area. You want to immediately start building relationships, pulling from your network. That's really critical. That's kind of something that I do. I'm like, oh, wait, my names start pulling up. Once you're doing research, you're thinking about names. Oh, I know this. Oh, wait, maybe I can connect. Let me email her. Oh, I remember she was a part of the board. Oh, let me email her. And that's kind of what I did with the human trafficking. I wrote the idea down. I was doing some research to educate myself. I was watching some documentaries. And I was just writing the ideas down. Then I thought about, oh, wait, I know somebody that's on the board of a nonprofit that helps children that gets human trafficked. So I emailed her and I was like, hey, I know you're doing this. We haven't spoken almost a year. She emailed me back. And then, we're going to be talking soon. So it was that, because you never know your market, your network. It's like, that's your worth. Like, that's where your money's at. It's really the people that you know. So I think those are at least the top three things you're going to do. After you get the idea, write it down. Start doing some research on it. And then, figure out the people that, ideally that would need that. And then figuring out who are the people that you may need to help you with that idea.
Great, great information. Great information. I got, and it's so funny that, and I was just kind of scrolling down. I didn't even really see this question, but it ties directly in with what you were saying. One of the questions I got was how to do good research to put into a business plan. Actually, this was a follow-up question from the person who asked the first question about a business plan. So when you're doing research, you have your idea, you wrote it down, you said you're going to do research, what are some of the places that you go to do that research? So when you were thinking about the human trafficking, and I know you mentioned documentaries, was there someplace else you went?
Right. I was watching I usually go to Google. But then there's some sources that I typically go to, like New York Times or Time Magazine, Harvard Business Review, Netflix. That's kind of where I was watching the documentary on. YouTube, recently I'm always doing marketing stuff and learning stuff. So my friend did a case study on Trader Joe's, and she was telling me that she's in school for business at NYU, I was like, send me that report, you know, from Harvard Business Review. That's something you have to pay for. So now she sent that over. I didn't have to pay for that research. So it's like also tapping into those relationships, because now I didn't have to pay for that valuable information, even though it's 166 pages, but it's their whole business plan. So it's, you know, you once you go on YouTube or Google and you type in, you know, human trafficking, you have to kind of draw from the right things. I think it takes practice, because you know what's credible and what's not. But things mm-hmm. that you know, like New York Times or Forbes or any like really well-known publication, anything that outside of that, you probably don't want to look into, like Huffington Post maybe. Look into like really well-known that you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of stuff is, you know. But I develop over time to know what to click on and what to read. And then the next step would be, you know, asking your friends about the topic or the idea, because then maybe they can point you in the right direction
right.
as far as getting research.
Yeah, that's great. That's some good stuff. And now that's coming from a kind of a new school philosophy on doing the research, you know,
mm-hmm.
Netflix, YouTube, Google. I would just also add, because I deal with a lot of what I would call, I affectionately call them corporate burnouts, the ones that are, you know, trying to transition away from a structured organization like a corporation. So they tend to be a bit older. So, you know, for them, I would also recommend, you know, they can go to a local library. Chambers of Commerce are really good. They have a lot of great information at Chamber of Commerce. A lot of state departments have economic developments. A lot of cities, like New York City, there's an economic development for almost every little area, like, you know, Washington Heights, Brooklyn, you know. So, these are some trade associations is another one. So these are some other really good places you can go to get research or get someone that can help you research. And they can also help you with building that network that you were talking about, right?
Right. Yes. That's good. Yeah. Absolutely. Library cool. is your best friend.
Yes.
Actually, I was thinking about that today. I said, I have to get my library card again, because there's books that I don't want to pay for Amazon right now. And so mm-hmm. I was like, maybe if the library has that, I can just rent them.
yeah, man. And the library, they even actually, you can even, I was just found out like last year or something that if you have a library card, you can, there are e-books that you can borrow. Which, you know,
wow.
is like phenomenal. So it's great. Yeah, library is definitely your best friend. Cool. So I think one of the big ways questions I always get, and I'm sure you get, and everyone really worries about when it comes to starting a business is money, you know, the financing.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
you know, how can I want to start this business, but, I don't have money right now to invest in marketing or product development or what have you. How do you deal with that question, and when you get it, you know, and what would you say to someone who's you know, feels that money is an impediment to them right now?
Yeah, that's a good one. I've always started my ideas with my own money.
Okay.
And what I've always suggested for people. Before you need money, start saving money, because you never know when you're going to have an idea that requires that money. So, like I was saying earlier, you have to become a certain person. You got to start managing your money better. If you have a job, you want to start saving, because you never know when you're going to need to pull from that, ideally for this idea. So before you actually have an idea you think you want to pursue, I would say start today, start saving. Now, if you have the idea and you're looking for money to start up, I would say two things. One, once you flush out the idea and you really know, like, hey, this is what I'm doing, I'm building this, go to your family and friends,
mm-hmm.
unless you haven't really tapped them out already. But that's your first bet, is to go to family and friends and, hey, and let them know, like, once you got that initial say, I just need $1,000. This will get me set up, and then I'll be either out. It could be a loan, or it can say, hey, I just need you to invest $1,000 in me, or it can be I can pay you back. You know, X amount of days or months or a year. But that'll be the first thing, is getting money from friends and family. And also, new thing that I've been thinking about is, before you ask for money, build out a community. Once you have the idea and you figure out who would actually want to, you know, use that product, start actually going to that community and trying to engage them and connect with them. Because when you're building that, there's trust that emerges. It's a little process, but go to different events, go to different places that your people, the people that you want to serve, they are. So, like, if, you know, if there's, like, for me, dancers, when I started Dance Change, I needed more dancers and whatnot, dance teachers. So I went to different dance events. You know, I'm not a dancer at all, but I needed to get into that ecosystem. And once I got into that ecosystem and they believed in the vision, they started coming on board. And then once I had a program running, people were willing to buy into something that was running already. So a lot of times people won't invest into something that's not running, but ideally I try to build a community first, got it started, and then say, hey, this is already running and I need this amount of money. They can say, oh, cool. For the most part. So when money comes an issue, this is what I've done, and I would suggest people to do is a little slower process, but one, you want to try your best to use your own money. If you don't have any money, start asking friends and family, and then start building a community. And one avenue to build a community is fundraising, and I would say crowdfunding. It's a new thing. That's how you can build your community out if you have a product or service. Crowdfunding, but you know, you want to do that right. But that's definitely another avenue that you, if you don't have any money, you can literally start. It's free, you know, for the most part. It's free to start a fundraising platform, a crowdfunding platform. So, you know, you have different avenues.
Yeah, if anyone that might be listening or hearing this, because this episode will be made available on demand, so they can hear this weeks, months, years from now. Anyone that's listening and they may not know exactly what crowdfunding is, that's sites like GoFundMe or Kickstarter is like a really, really big one. Prosper.com is another one where you can go and present your idea to a group of people that are there and have money to invest, and they're looking for really good ideas to invest in. And they'll invest in you, and it's a really good way of getting, and they can invest something as low as $5 or $7, $5, $10, but you get enough of those people to really invest in you if they buy into your vision and really support you and get money to you that way. So that's one thing. I do like what you said about building the community first. I think that's an absolutely great idea. A lot of people don't do it. And the one thing that I thought about when you were saying build a community, that's so very easy, and it's done a lot, but it's not always done correctly, is you can start blogging. You know, you can share content, start blogging. You can, you know, if you're not a writer, you can start a YouTube channel, you know, start some type of, you know, a Facebook group, you know, and have an active Facebook group. There's so many different ways to build a community of like-minded people that doesn't cost you anything except for maybe time. You know, there's some, when you're doing blog, there's some technical costs there, but not a lot. When you do, you know, when you're on social media, it's really going to just cost you the time. YouTube is just going to cost you the time and maybe equipment costs to camera and lighting. But other than that, it's really, 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 really cheap to start something, to build a community. And after you build that community, after you get a following, you build up that following, then you can start to, as you say, introduce something that they'll buy into. It could be a product, a book, a video course, some type of product, you know, anything like that. But that's a really, really And that's a really good way to go around the money, not having the money up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a much slower process, but what you're not looking to start fast. What you want to do is start smart and use wisdom, and you want to actually gain momentum over the long term, because things are getting so fast. Things are getting mm-hmm. much cheaper because of technology, and what you're going to ultimately need is your people that you're serving. Because at the end of the day, if you can build a relationship with them, it doesn't matter what new comes out, you build such a strong relationship. There's people that still buy the same things over and over. It doesn't matter what new technology comes out, because they have a really awesome relationship with that company or, that person. It doesn't matter if a new phone that really, like, a food product that pops in your mouth and you get all your nutrition, they'll probably still go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, because the people are awesome, so you want to focus on building a community, because that's who really matters. And when things get tight, who's going to support you? Your community, the people that you've been serving over the past months and years. So that's why I was like, focus on the people that really, the people that matter. The whole business is about them. The idea is about them. So make sure you're always keeping your focus on the people. That's critical. The idea you have is about helping people. So never take your eyes off of them, even though it's very difficult to do that. But try to keep your mind on how can I continue to involve the idea to serve them. Because if you do that and they feel valued, you'll have a lifetime customer.
Very true. Very, very true. Okay, let's get a couple more questions if we can. I mean, time is flying by. We're almost, at the top of the hour. So I want to try and get in a couple more questions if we can. I told you, didn't I tell you the time flies?
Right.
Okay, so another quick question that I get is, do I have to incorporate my business, or should I incorporate the business? I'll let you go first. I have some ideas on that as well, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want to incorporate. You definitely want to get the business legalized as soon as possible. Almost like in the first week or so before you start sharing the idea to everybody. Because once you feel like in your gut that this is a great idea and you want to build, you don't want to share with everybody. But then once you want to get that legal stuff incorporated, you can go downtown. If you're in New York City, you can go to your local city and get a certificate of deposit, a doing business as certificate, and that'll help you get legalized in the city. There's other platforms to use, LegalZoom, get yourself set up. It takes a couple of days, depending on, the name and process, but get incorporated quick. Definitely get that done.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I would say though, it depends on the business again. Some businesses you definitely want to incorporate as quick as possible. Again, if you're coming out anything with any type of product or any type of service that impacts someone in a way, in a certain way, because the legal protections are key there. If someone, for whatever reason decides to go after you, for whatever reason, you are protected, your personal assets are protected. So you always want that wall of protection there.
Mm-hmm.
Some businesses don't really require a legal protection if it's something like a solopreneur, that's something doing something that's kind of self-contained. But it's always good to at least have some type of protection. So I always recommend, if you're going to do a sole proprietorship, which it does make it easier when it comes time for taxes, you should think about getting some type of insurance to protect yourself. But that's definitely something you want to talk to a legal expert and a tax attorney. But I always say that, I'm not don't take my word for it when it comes to finances or anything like that. Always talk to an expert. But I, from the experts that I've spoken to that's given me advice, they always said at the very least you should have some type of insurance and protection against something that potentially could go wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Another good question that came out is, if they operate out of their home, should they get a license?
Now that question depends. Depends on what they're doing. Like they're serving food, or they're serving chemicals, you know, anything like hair products, or if you're doing like a daycare, obviously you need like license and stuff like that. But yeah, it depends on if you're doing something at home business, really depends on, the commercial property. Can you, it really depends on a lot of different factors that I'm not too familiar with, but it really depends on what you're trying to build. That once you do your research, you say, oh, wait, I actually need my license for this.
Yeah.
If you're starting a juice company, you need your food license, food handling license, or the Department of Health requires that stuff. So it really depends on what you're building at home.
Yeah, that's you hit on the big three where I would say you should definitely look at having some type of licensing. That's anything involved children, anything involving food, or anything involving chemicals. You almost always are going to want to get some type of license if you're going to operate those things out of your home. And just be safe. Just always, and I know in New York there's 311. I'm not sure in different states if they have a similar setup, but you can always go down to your city hall or your local town hall and find out. But it's always better to be safe than sorry when it comes to something like that. Okay. Well, I think we're going to end the questioning there because we're close to the top of the hour, and I want to give you a chance to just tell people again, how they can get in contact with you and what they can expect. So we're going to end the question in there. And I just, what, first off, how can they get in contact with you if they want to continue the conversation with you for either, your business stuff, your dancing stuff, or if they have even more questions?
Yeah, you guys, I would love to chat with you guys and connect. You can give me a call. Personally, give me a call at 347-581-5822. That's 347-581-5822. Or you can email me at william@dreamlandnyc.com. That's william@dreamlandnyc.com.
Great. And if someone was to work with you, say if they were to come to you for Dreamland, what kind of services does Dreamland offer?
Our promise to you will be that we will seek to connect with you. First of all, our promise is that we'll seek to connect with you and really build a relationship with you, understand you and what you can expect. That we offer video, photography, branding, as far as building your website, logos, anything creative in essence, packaging, pretty much anything creative in that arena.
And that's for anyone that's starting a business or has a small business going on currently.
That's correct. So if you have an idea, you have a business idea, you want to start like a fashion company, you want to start a blog, you want to start a fitness company, or if you have an existing company, maybe you want to rebrand, or you want to add a different, look to your company, we can help you with that.
Gotcha. Okay, well, William, I want to thank you. You have been an exceptional guest, as I know you would be. You've shared your knowledge and You really gave some really great answers to the question and some really different perspectives. So I want to thank you, and I'm going to have you back on the show. You know, I think we're going to make this a reoccurring segment where we answer some questions, and we'll get some live ones in here as well as some of the email ones as well. All right, man?
Thank you, Dr. Kim. I really appreciate it. Thank everyone for being on the call. I really, it's really great to connect with you guys and hang out.
Cool, cool, cool. We'll talk soon, brother. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Thank you.
All right. Okay. That's our show for this week. Next week, we'll be back with another awesome episode of Passion Talk, conversations about love, life, and the things that matter. Until then, have a great one and be good to yourself.